breakfast cooking. Who wants to go? We need so many people in the sugar beet fields. I need so many people there. I need so many people in the peppermint field. And people, that's men and women, they could pick to go wherever they want. But a mechanic, for instance, Yava, my husband, if the electricity had to be fixed or plumbing had to be fixed, there'd be nobody else. He would be the one there to go. All those that had special abilities, you needed the special people. Now, in the when we raised the chickens, the people that had the experience in the chickens were the logical people to go. Not that somebody told them you must go, but they were the logical ones. It's just their own life, you know. They're all you have to do whatever is necessary. That's where the responsibility comes. Now, the main complaints came from some of the young people that the labor manager said, I want you to go and do this and I want you to go and do that. But I think the response, that was the school of life as far as I'm concerned, that the voluntary basis, not the compulsory.
On a more personal basis, then you do feel that there was complete equalization of men and women, and that basically women did control their own fate and they could choose. I mean, how do you feel about that in terms of?
They had more of an opportunity on this kind of a farm than anywhere else that they could choose in the outside world. How their own personal life in their own families, again, that is a different thing. But as far as the work is concerned, we all had to do what was necessary. Let's say if there was field work that I didn't want to go to work, I would have to go because it has to be done. There's no one else to do it. But you could choose if you want to go pick carrots or pick cucumbers or whatever it is. If you'd rather go with Dora or with Lynn or something like that, you could, you know, you have your choice. But the work that had to be covered, the labor manager says, I need 10 people here and 15 people there. Who wants to go here and who wants to go there?
The 20s was a period somewhat different than the Victorian era in terms of sexuality and openness to some extent. Did you see some of that transition?
I do not know whether the 20s were different. It was different than the anarchist movement.
Why?
And it still is. Because the anarchist movement, the anarchists, they think different than not the ordinary way.
Were the women as open about sexuality as the men were within the two colonies?
No, I don't think people were any more open than the usual thing. In the 20s, it was a different atmosphere. In the 20s, there was Margaret Sanger and Emma Goldman, and people were within the circle. But the outside world looked at it very badly. This is a period where the outside world is accepting. There was a television program for several weeks on sex expression, first for women, then for men. You're probably aware of that. And you have clergymen sitting and explaining, talking about these things and all that. So, and also we are in a time where we're thinking of controlling births because of the world situation. And all that. That's a different atmosphere than it was that time.
What was it like in the colony?
In the Ferrer colony was different than the colony in the Sundays. The Ferrer colony were mostly young people that came in and maybe met there, and the people like myself. When I came into the colony, I was not. It was the beginning of my life when I got the children. When I came into the colony, but otherwise, this was a different. This was the element of people that were thinking in terms of free love, thinking in terms of birth control, things like that. But in the on the farm, in the Sunrise Colony, that was a mixed element, the same as outside. There were no such things, such people there. If there was young people that decided to get married, they got married. Mm-hmm. And there was a marriage there.
When you lived in the colony, the Frere colony, where when you said that it was free love in the sense more so than on the Sunrise, were there discussions openly between men and women on sexual things?
No. There was no discussions. When I talk about a colony, this was not only in the colony. This was in the entire, I'm talking about East Broadway and the Bronx, where I was listening to lectures in the, of the same people discussing. But it was not, discussing sex and not the techniques of sex, the way they talk now, and not the freedom between people. It was just in a theoretical way discussed. And there's no comparison. This is a different altogether. There's no comparison between that. And now you have to be a very mature thinker about these things. And to me, it happened that way because of the there was no philosophizing about it. This is what I felt, the way I answered my mother. We didn't get a marriage or a religious ceremony because we believe each other more than we do. And I don't see that it's any different because we lived a full life of responsible to each other and responsible to the children. And it's not different to me. I don't look at it any different than any ordinary marriage. Only I didn't have to go for the formality. It's what we are, and that's all there is to it. So at that time, there were people that were irresponsible, just going to sleep with a woman, and a child should be born and not being taken care of. That is not what the anarchist philosophy is. And I sum it up in just two words: freedom. My freedom is where yours. It stops when you begin, if I am intruding on your freedom. And so it has to be by common consent, whatever, living together with respect and with responsibility for the after effects.
When you didn't talk about it in general, did you talk about it with other women at the colony more than with men? No.
Not at all, because they were all married women with their children. And
so you didn't talk about it.
There wasn't anything to talk about.
Nothing.
No, there was no, nothing to talk about. Maybe some of these people looked very badly at some people like me, but I think I always had respect, even from my mother, because we were always responsible people.
Did you have an abortion while you were at the Frere Colony? Was it something that women at the colony did without...
Oh, yes, of course. Sure. But when I lived in the colony, I moved into the colony when my older boy was 3 months old. And the second boy I had in the colony. And I was ready to have an abortion. I went to the doctor, I went into New York for it. And every time I got pregnant, my husband would give me the support. It's up to me. He'll support 100%. It was never his decision. You know, you see now they're talking the woman should have the right to decide. And he made it my, he never wanted any abortions. But he said, he left it to me. And then when I got pregnant, when the younger one, I was still nursing the other one. No. He was born 4 years later. I'm very sick when I get pregnant. That's worse to me than the birth. He nausea. And so he said, well, this is your decision. I will help all I can. And Mandy would get into the kitchen when I can't. And all that. And but he wouldn't say to me yes or no. It's my decision. And when I came to I went in to do it, and I told the doctor I don't feel like doing it. Then he came for me and he said, I give you my hope, and I'm very grateful because I have a wonderful son. This is the kind of a freedom between us.
Do you feel that the rest of the women in the colony had that same freedom?
I don't know.
Was it a part of the philosophy that the individuals might or might not have done?
I don't philosophize about those things. I saw people how they are, mm-hmm. and I was the way I was. And I was just lucky enough to unite my life with a man that was felt the way I did.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me about one of the times when you went into New York to have the abortion, what it was like and where you went?
Well, the first time when I went in, my two little girls were very young. I left one, the older one, in Philadelphia with a friend, and I took the younger one with me to go into New York. And there was a Dr. Caspi, a socialist.
How old were you? Do you remember?
It was in a very early time. Maybe I was 19 or, I don't know, 20. Mm-hmm. See now. Oh, wait a minute. It must have been 20 because my older son was born in 22. So it must have been about 20. So I came in, it was done in a house, and my girlfriend was helping you to hold me without the anesthesia. What do you say?
Yeah, I know.
Well, anyway, it was a terrible experience. It was a terribly painful thing. Mm-hmm. And
how did they do it?
At the clinic, you know, they clean you out, sure.
Well, do you remember what kind of tools they used?
Oh, I should know about tools. No, this was a medical man. He was an old man with a gray head, mm-hmm. but he was a socialist and there was so much poverty in the working class, and he did it for $10. And he did it because of the fact that I had two young children. And I used to suffer very much ever since I began to menstruate, terrible pains. That cleaning, I needed like the best thing. After that, I never had any trouble. For so many years, all the years I suffered pain. And this clinic, and he said as much when he was while he was working. You know, I still admired how he did it. This friend of mine was holding my feet and helping him to just a man should be willing to do, a doctor should be willing to do it that way. That was the first time. It was a bad experience, but it was necessary. And after that, I had been put to sleep sometimes. I don't remember anymore. It's a long time ago. But it was a terrible experience. I went to, with a friend of mine, a young woman, a young girl. She's not married. I took her to, you know, used to have to go to Mexico. And I waited, her mother went in with her, and I waited in San Diego. And it was done that way, without putting her to sleep. And I was just feeling all the pain with her. Because I remember how terrible it is. Now it's easy because it's even legalized.
When you had your two sons, who delivered them?
Hospital. The first time I had a Chinese doctor, a woman.
A woman?
Yeah, the second time was a man, and that was when I was in the colony, and it was very interesting. Years later, I had a brother's child that got tonsillitis, and I called him, and he came into my house and recognized me, and he said, I remember you, by the open windows, and they see they were very conservative at the time. A nursing mother was not allowed to have orange juice or things like that. And I was a vegetarian. I wanted the windows open. I couldn't sleep with closed windows. And I asked for orange juice and the things that that I wanted to eat. So he remembered me by that. But I had normal births without any. Well, anyway, what else do you want to know?
Do you remember when you went in for examinations? Were most of the doctors that you saw men at the time?
No.
You saw women?
The doctors that delivered. The one that the woman doctor that I had, there were two Chinese. One was tall and one was short. They were both working together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that time. It was just a hospital. I went to. I didn't have any special doctor, mm-hmm. but you go to the hospital whatever doctor they give you.
So more often than once you had a woman.
Well. No, I'm talking about the birth. When you come in for the examinations before, mostly I think the work was done by nurses. I don't remember. I remember these two doctors because they delivered. I remember those that delivered the babies. I don't remember what else is going on. But usually this routine is maybe they were the same, I don't know.
When you were at the colony, in the Ferrer colony, did you have any particular close friendship with one or two women?
Oh, yes, we were all a close family, yes, sure.
Did you ever, like, have a, without being possessive now, a woman as a best friend, particularly more than any other one?
Of course, you group yourself now. There's a woman living in Palo Alto now, in the Lachisa. It's probably 87 or something like that. In the later years, when the firms were gone and the school was diminished to just an kindergarten, you know, the army moved in, Camp Kilmer moved in, so the school became just a little. She was teaching. Now, she was a very close friend. The groupings is according to your inclinations of. Your ideas and your things. That's the groupings. And there's one still living in Skelton that visited me sometime. Mm-hmm. Yeah, close friendships, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure, they always have flow. There's a woman in the working circle old age home now that lived on the other side of the Ferrer, of the Ferrer colony, the fellowship farm. Mm-hmm. She was a close friend too. Another one that died. She had cancer here in Los Angeles. Well, there were, especially those that you worked with in the anarchist group. You know, we had, besides the school, we had an anarchist group. Now, as far as the schoolwork is concerned, usually those people that agree ideologically get closer. Now, there was one woman that her husband was a musician. And she was with the same philosophy, but we were not as close because, first of all, she lived much further away, and I don't know how it is. It happens that with some people you get closer than with others. It's a natural thing. But
one of these women went with you when you had the abortion.
No,
this was a different woman.
That was not from the colony. That was in New York. I lived in Philadelphia then.
Did your husband ever go with you when you had an abortion?
No, it was not possible. We had small children. We had the
so
young
he
children.
Stayed
then? Oh, sure.
Did you ever want him to be there?
No.
Why?
I couldn't have such a luxury. Who would take care of the children?
What about a friend?
And he had to work. He couldn't leave his job. I did not. It didn't. Of course not.
It didn't bother you because you had someone else, or did you? You know, did you have
I didn't need anybody except the doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, he would take me if there was no other transportation or something. I can't even remember how it was. I would. I can't remember anymore. Oh, yes, while I was in the farm, I had an abortion. And I had to go into Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he went in with me to Detroit. But none of these sentimental things. He didn't have to stop and hold my hand or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't at the birth either. He was taking me to the hospital and going back to take care of the children.
So
they had a ready-made family to start with, you know.
So when you think of when you were having the abortions, you think more in terms of the physical pain rather than the psychological pain.
Well, the psychological effect was only when I only had cleanings when I absolutely had to. Now, when I had a choice, when I had a second son, I didn't choose to.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any choice the other times. Picture when you have two small children who were born after tubercular parents,
mm-hmm.
and you have to, your earnings are such that you buy everything for the children first and whatever is left for your own food. Do you think of having more children?
Oh, no, I wasn't saying...
You see, I mean, psychologically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I'm thinking of is the mature life. This would not be over my head anymore. He died. That I could enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pity. Best years of your life is when you remain alone. It's a pity. Because I'm thinking now, it's 20 years since he died. The maturity that I reached now, how little I got out of what I could have had with him. Because I was not as mature as I am now. I mean, in the thinking, now I read and I have no one to share with. And while he was alive, I was not only raising my children, raised my granddaughter too. When he was the kind of a person that he always shared what was reading, but I didn't have time. I didn't have time, you see. I had a little baby.
So now you feel that...
Sure, now I haven't got anybody to share with. What you read, you forget unless you share.
Well, you
unless you discuss
people.
It. You know other people, but they're not interested in you or in what you have to say. You know other people. I'm very busy and active, but not in the same way. Not that way. For instance, there's not one day that I'm free. Like today I was free. I set aside a day to go and take care of an instrument I have to fix and to go to the automobile company. But I didn't manage to do both. And I come home. I have a lot of work to do when I come home. I'm never free. Tomorrow is a full day again. But
we're together, you.
But the things that I am busy with now, what I'm busy with now, is not what I'm busy. What I could be busy out of that. For instance, I'm very active in the daily things. Whatever I read in newspaper, I'm part of. I'm part of things there. So I have people that I can talk to them about that. But there are many other things that I can't approach other people about. The things that I have a rich life besides that. You see. So. Someday I went out to play with a group. I took them for the playing. I get paid for a check for the farm workers. But could I speak with them on anything, on a social thing? Even on what's going on in the news, I can't speak with them.
Mm-hmm.
If for music, you get people that can play.
Mm-hmm. So you don't feel now that you know someone who's as rounded as you are?
No, because I'm very many-sided. Now, I could be segregated in one little group, but I'm not that way. I have many interests. That man was saying, you never saw so many interesting things, such different interests. Now, each thing represents a different thing. I'm very active in a City of Hope thing. I raised a lot of money for the City of Hope because it's a very important thing. But the people that I meet with there, they're not my, they haven't got my interests. If I bring in a new idea, they can't even respond to that. You see, because you have in common with people for the different things. Like music, I have in common with some people, regardless of what they're thinking. Is ceramics with some farm workers. I came in the open house there, and I saw an atmosphere of not for the farm workers. I wouldn't want to be with them. It happened to be that a writer that comes from the Communist Party, and they're communists. They're those that came, he wrote a book, and in the book, I looked at the book. He's selling it. The farm workers are getting 40-50% of the sales. And I looked into the book. If they're selling it $2 a book, I would surely buy it. But I looked it through, and I saw in this book how much the communists did for the farm workers, how they tried to organize the farm, which is not true. Mm-hmm. So would I be in their company if I ran for them? So you see, there's many, my interests are so many facets. The Fayyad Tashkimi, the Jewish anarchist paper, has a lot of very interesting subjects. Even if on Israel, on any question, there's not many people that are the way I am. And those that are my age, I can't talk to them at all because they're just old people. They got themselves into one little corner. And that's the only thing they are. But I'm not that way.